When this happened, you talk about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cone. The third time works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cone in 99, 27 up, 27 down. David Cone has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 306, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Big baseball weekend. Yankees take care of business in Boston after a disastrous Friday night that felt like the team needed a drastic change. Even I was on board, Mr. Boone Defender. Even I was on board with anything was possible after that night. Even if it's just to create a spark, because I don't think it was his fault in any way, shape, or form. Anybody who blamed him for the loss, because, you know, I don't know why I get hung up on this stuff, but I got buddies texting me. I see what's on social media. Like, people are, you know, upset about the post game. Again, the post game. He's asked a direct question from Meredith Mrokowitz. Hey, do you think there's an end in sight? Yeah, I believe there's an end in sight. And then there's like, everyone puts it out on social media where it's like, I see the end in sight. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, where is it? How could he say that? He was asked a direct question. Should he say no? We're stuck in a pit of despair, of never-ending darkness? Is that what the manager should say? Like, it's just crazy to me. It's crazy to me. But it was so bad that how could, you know, I mean, sometimes if your argument is you got to fire the manager to create a spark, I don't think that's a fair argument. It's a fair argument heading into Saturday. And if they would have lost that game, if Grisham would not have come through with that ball off the wall that probably should have been caught by O'Neill, let's be fair. It hit about 4 feet up the wall. O'Neill absolutely killed them in that game. And if that ball would have been caught, if the Yankees would have lost that game, I mean, I don't know what would have happened last night. I don't know. But to lose that series and the way they would have lost it, scoring all those runs and still blowing it, you know, score 3 runs in the first and have it given right back and then have a back-and-forth affair and then ultimately, you know, the bullpen's terrible in the game. Hill wasn't any good. Tonkin was terrible. And then they, you know, but to rally back and get that win, huge. And then they stamped it with a great performance yesterday, scored a bunch of runs. Chisholm out there doing his thing, stealing third base to set up a run. Verdugo absolutely killing it in the leadoff spot. Wells being great in the cleanup spot. Just a great win, a great series. And now, hopefully, with Stanton coming back today, should look like a different team. The Mets, the complete opposite, with a great start to their series. A miraculous victory on Thursday night, this four-game set between them and Atlanta. They come in, they get the first 2 wins. They get that great performance from Senga, and then, of course, it ends. And it's hard not to feel like now that that is going to be a moment in time that you look back at and say, well, that's where it fell apart for the Mets. And I'm sure that's where a lot of the pessimistic Met fans who are killing Sal Licata now because Sal tweeted out that the wild card is over after Friday night, which, I mean, you could tell that he was being sarcastic. And I heard him just now that I guess he has a segment every Sunday, Sundays with Sal or whatever. I saw him on SNY. You knew he was being sarcastic. Like, it's not like, I mean, you know he's being sarcastic, but I mean, I saw Frank the Tank went on an absolute rant about Sal, just killing him. Oh, you got to love it. But really, I mean, look, you could look at the starting pitching for the Mets. Here's the thing with the Mets. They trade for Winker, who I think is he's having a great year. They've given up minimal prospects for him. He's someone who can help. He's certainly better than Stewart or any, you know, I mean, he's a better player than Taylor, although Taylor's, you know, done well and even had a good game yesterday. But the offense went cold. They would just absolutely shut down on Saturday. And then early on in the game had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity on Sunday, whether it's leadoff doubles. And I think they were 0-for-8 in the first 4 innings with runners in scoring position. 0-for-8 in the first 4 innings. They had guys on left and right in the first 4 innings, couldn't get the big hit to bring them home. And ultimately, yes, You know, McGill gives up a couple. McGill didn't pitch terribly, but he's not very good. He's got good stuff sometimes, but he doesn't really, like, he's someone who's, you know, for a very good team, or, you know, for a solid team, maybe a fifth guy, you can live with him. But Peterson did not have a good start. And so, yes, you want to look at the starting pitching. You still believe in the offense, although that's the reason you lost over the last couple of games, is the offense has gone cold here the last 2 days and unable to get any big hit, except for Pete Alonso with a two run home run in the ninth that everyone kills him for. It's amazing. Only baseball. Alex Rodriguez, you get it too. You get killed for hitting home runs when they don't matter. It's unbelievable. Like you should hit into a double play or a ground ball when it doesn't matter. But he comes through in that one moment. He had a leadoff double in this game. Like, they had multiple opportunities. Couldn't come through with the big hit. But when I look at this team now, right? They trade for Stanek, who had a miserable first appearance as a Met, gave up the home runs, just disaster. I don't know. He's having a bad year. He's had some success in his career, clearly. He's pitching a lot of postseason games. But these are the minimal moves that we've talked about. This is what you knew was coming from the Mets at the very minimum, right? You know they're not selling. You know they were going to buy, which is even that alone is a major upgrade over what we thought to start the year. Wouldn't have expected it. But to buy the Winkers of the world and to buy Stanek, it's nice. It helps the team. I think they're better today than they were before in some level. We'll see if Stanek's that bad every time he pitches, they're not better. But I think Winker is a very good player. I think Stanek is a reliever better than some of the guys they've had. But ultimately, for me, what I've been saying is, I want starting pitching for this team right now, and especially with the Senga injury. Obviously, if you haven't heard, I don't know where you are. It's been a couple days now, but Senga calf injury, going to miss all of the regular season. And whenever they say that, they mean the whole year. He's not going to come back for a playoff spot. He's just not. He's done, right? Miserable year for him. One start, one good start, and then it ends with a false step that kills his season, which is a disaster. But now I look at this team, and I still believe in this offense, despite the last 2 days. It's only two games. They've been the one of the better teams, if not the best offensive team in the sport for 2 months. I'm not going to get hung up on two games, although it is why they lost. And they did blow an opportunity to make a real statement, take over the wild card lead, and put the Braves in their rear view for at least a short time. Instead, weren't able to do it. They get pounded by the Braves in the last two games. But I still believe in this team. And when I'm looking at it, and in 2 days, the trade deadline, I understand the ask for these starting pitches are tough. Right, the ask for these guys, even the back end of the bullpen guys, they're asking a lot. I was listening to Evan a little bit on the Rico Bronya. A lot of Met fans, I know he's not here today. He's filling in for Eddie Scazzera in the morning. Fliegelman feels this way. They do not want to trade prospects for starting pitching. They just don't. They don't deem it to be worth it, and I don't understand. I understand that you're trying to build something here. I understand that you have but I mean, if you can get a young starting pitcher, like, I know Skubal seems like pie in the sky, and, you know, everyone seems to want to attach Baez and his terrible contract because you want to have Steve Cohen's money. And Baez, if you don't know, is owed $70 million for the next however many years, and he's been awful. He's literally the worst everyday player in Major League Baseball. And so the idea of maybe Detroit would be willing to lessen the prospect haul for a Skubal or a Flaherty if you take back the contract of Baez, or at least a significant portion of it, I'd be willing to do that too for Skubal. Like, if you could add an ace to this rotation, then they are as dangerous as anyone. And I know the team has flaws, and I understand they just blew the last two games when they had an opportunity to make a real statement, but I still believe in them, and I don't want to think small in hopes of saving prospects. Prospects are here for you to stock your team and to help you make trades. Now is the time to capitalize on what feels like a special year. I'm still there. I am still hoping that Stearns and the Mets, who Winker's a good buy, Stanek's a good buy, I'm sure they're still in the market for maybe another reliever, but look at the starting pitching and see if you can get something done that improves this team to the point of looking at a rotation where you got at least three top guys. You got Severino right now. And if you could add to Severino, you've lost Scott, you've lost Senga. You're getting good performances from Severino. You're getting, you know, better performances from Anaya. You're getting better performances from Quintana. If you can go into a rotation, a series with a starting rotation of an ace level pitcher or a young talented pitcher plus Severino and another, and you know, Manaya or whomever, I still think you got a really good chance. It hurts that you've lost Kodai Senga. It makes me feel less good about having that other starting pitcher, because that was the hope. The dream was you had another starting pitcher, Senga and Severino, as your top three. Now you don't have anything that good with the loss of Senga, but still, what level are the Mets looking to move here? Because I believe in them, and I think they're as good as anyone this side of Philadelphia and L.A. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you. So a Yankee team, the theme of this show as we head to 5 o'clock in the warm show, the Yankees, after disaster on Friday, have a miracle win Saturday, the best win of the year, come with one strike away from losing the first two. Grisham hits one off the wall. They come back in extra innings and win the game. They follow it up with a very good performance from Rodon and another good offensive performance from this lineup top to bottom. They win the two out of three in Boston. They head to Philadelphia with guys returning, trades being made. Chisholm is a Yankee. And the Mets blow an opportunity to really make a statement, but still have an opportunity to be one of the best teams in the National League if they're willing to do so at the deadline. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Junior in Jersey City. What's up, Junior?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
You remember me? I told you we're gonna bury the Giants last season.
You said you were gonna what the Giants?
Bury the Giants.
Okay, well, you might have buried them, but here they are. They're still practicing. They will rise in September.
Sorry, buddy. I was calling about Rodon. Yes. I just still feel that you got to give the guy a fair shake. A couple starts ago, he was the worst pitcher, and now he's good, you know. So just give the guy a fair shake.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think they've given him a fair shake. I think I've given him a fair shake. I think most Yankee fans have given him a fair shake. To be totally honest with you, because he's been bad. He was good to start. I don't think, you know, listen, when he was hurt all of last year, and then when he pitched, he was terrible. And it looked like someone who struggled with New York, right? That's what it felt like. It's what it smelled like. It's what it was. And then at the start of this year, when everybody else was pitching great and the Yankees were winning, Carlos Rodon was right in the mix of it. He was pitching great. He had a sub-3 ERA through his first 11 or so starts. They won a ton of games. They won a ton of his starts. Everything was going great. And then adversity hit. And unfortunately, he feels like a guy, and we've seen, where he can't overcome adversity. And the minute things go wrong, like that start against Toronto, right? A couple of little bloop hits, the little squibber down the line that Ben Rice lets hit first base, and then suddenly the game's out of hand. Or he'll give up a home run, and a home run leads to a double and another home run. Like, he can't ever stop the bleeding, right? And yet last night, that's exactly what he did. And that's, to me, where the game was won. Yes, the offense scored a ton of runs. They kept adding. You like all the at-bats you've seen from Verdugo. I said even Oswaldo Cabrera, who should be playing much more than he's been playing. Like, top-to-bottom lineup looked the best it's looked in forever. But they won the game when Carlos Rodon got out of that fourth inning. Because in every other start, in every other moment, all of you felt it. You know you did, Yankee fans. He gives up the two home runs back-to-back to start the inning, and then Devers hits one off the wall, misplayed by Chisholm, who hasn't really, you know, played in Fenway. I don't know how many games he's ever played in Fenway. Misread a ball off the wall, leads to a triple. That game, it has got Red Sox at least tie it written all over it. That game is now 4-2 with a runner on third, nobody out, in the middle of the Red Sox order, with O'Neill coming up, who killed him the day before. That felt like, in that moment, here he goes, he's going to unravel, and this game is going to be 6-4. That's what it felt like. And for him to get out of that inning and to not allow Devers to score from third was, to me, the key turning point of the game. From that moment on, the Yankees were in control. Tommy in Astoria. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, Chris, it's good to hear you excited about the Yankees. It really is.
It feels good to be excited about the Yankees. I'll tell you.
It does. I listen, as a diehard fan, when you go through a stretch, it just sucks the life out of you. I know what it's like. You know, I'm a big Mets fan. I feel for you. Yeah. But I tell you, I don't think people realize just how bad Baltimore. They almost lost the game today.
Baltimore, they don't have a closer. I don't trust their closer at all.
Right.
Their starting rotation's completely in shambles. I know they added, Eflin. We'll see if he can help them. But not only that, they're dropping pop-ups. That game on Saturday was embarrassing. Yeah. They're dropping pop-ups. They're throwing the ball around. They lost two. They needed to win the final game of each series. They barely snuck by and didn't get swept by Miami. And the same thing in San Diego. They are floundering. So yeah, the Yankees are right there. You can put them back up.
I'm happy. I mean, I'll still see. I know Cleveland's good. You know.
Yeah. No, Cleveland's very good, but I mean, everyone told me at the start of the year I shouldn't worry about them, so I guess I'm not worried about them. The entire Central.
You got to worry about any team with pitching.
Yeah, well, they could use. I think they're in the hunt for a starting pitcher, but they've scored a ton of runs. That's like Kwan at the top of the order.
Yeah.
Naylor has become one of the better hitters in baseball. Like, Naylor's having a great year, and obviously, Ramirez is one of the top hitters in baseball. They've scored a lot of runs. And they're dangerous. And so is Kansas City. Kansas City's a young upstart team. They're dangerous. And Minnesota, I have to admit, the Yankees tend to own. And I would feel very, very confident if they played Minnesota. But Minnesota's had a good year. I mean, you know, there are teams they have to worry about. Even if they don't, if they can't beat the Yankees, doesn't mean they can't have a better record than the Yankees. Yeah. So, I mean, like, you know, they're right in the middle of it, though.
Yeah, Minnesota, I think, is going to give the Mets a tough series. They got some bats. They really hit. One quick bet point. I wouldn't overpay for some. A guy like Schuble, this guy's an ace. I'd be all in for a guy like that.
Right.
I wouldn't overpay for a starter. I would try plan B. I think if he pivots, you try to get a Chad Green. A guy like Chad Green is making $11 million for the next year. He might be too rich for some teams. If you can get a guy like Chad Green and then you put Buto, which I don't really want to do, but if you have to force to do it, you put Buto back in the rotation. It wouldn't be a great thing, but if the kid Nunez can come back in a couple of weeks, you bring in a guy like Chad Green, you may just have enough to piece that bullpen together. Yeah. I don't see what choice you have.
Tommy, I like the Chad Green signing. Sure, he's a good reliever. He's having a good year with Toronto. I have no problem bringing him in. I'm not moving Buto out of the bullpen. I think Buto has been great in the bullpen. I think he's a weapon. Chad Green can't do what Buto can do. Now, Chad Green might be a more dominant reliever, and you feel better about him in the eighth or ninth, I suppose. He's had a track record of doing it. But Buto right now, with his ability to give you innings and what he's done, and he comes in, he gets out of jams, and he gives you innings. Right now, he looks like a threat. And they need that more than they need starting pitching. And what he is his stuff is played better. His command is better. He just looks like someone who's fit right into the bullpen and given you a really impressive kind of tool set that every bullpen would benefit from. I mean, he can give you three innings and set you up for the rest of a series. He can, you know, get you out of a jam and take you all the way home. Like, those are things that are important. I'm not moving Buto out of the bullpen at all. He's in the bullpen. Add to the bullpen. Go get Chad Green. That's fine. I get you. And making $11 million or whatever. Prorated for this year, it's five. I don't know, or less than that. The Yankees are in on him, I heard. We'll see, but yeah, I mean, that's a move. I still want a starting pitcher, though. I want to give this team a chance to win. I think they're that good. Philip in Washington Heights. What's up, Phil?
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Okay. Bob Chisholm, is there any thoughts, like, even though he hasn't played in a long time, of putting him at third base, maybe?
Yes, they've talked about it. They're going to give him some play at third base. They're going to work him out there. He's never played in the major leagues at third base. Him and Glaber are going to get some work at third to try and create, you know, a versatile lineup where they can play multiple guys at multiple positions.
Yeah, because one thing I wouldn't like them to do, especially since he's in a hot streak now, is start moving Torres around, because that might playing his mind.
I hear you, but you know, I'm sorry. I'm so tired of this. It's the same thing like Glaber. Oh, you know, they ruined him by putting him at shortstop. I mean, can you, while it's probably true, can Glaber just play the position and not be ruined offensively, even if he struggles there? Like, even, and he said he doesn't want to go to third. He's a second baseman. I get it. There have been troubles moving him, and I'd rather not move him and play Chisholm at third base, fine. But you know what? Does Glaber have to go into the tank offensively for switching positions? I mean, they're Major League Baseball players. Like, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Like, you want to get on Cashman and the Yankees for not recognizing that he was struggling there at shortstop and should have moved him off shortstop earlier? Fine. But I can't blame them for trying it. Like, who would have thought Gleyber Torres couldn't move to shortstop, that it would ruin his career? The kid came up as a shortstop. They needed a stopgap until they knew that some shortstops were coming up in the system, whether it be Peraza or Volpe. It ended up being Volpe, but either one, they had two shortstop prospects coming up through the system. They needed a stopgap shortstop. They tried Gleyber Torres, who came up as a shortstop, and it ruined him. And it took them far too long to realize that, and I'll get on them for that. But the idea that Gleyber Torres can't go play third base, you play second base, you can't play third, it's the same thing. Like, yeah, there are less responsibilities, it's different. You know, you don't have to worry about turning a double play, cutoff, this and that. There's some differences to it. The ball gets on you quicker. You need a little bit more of a strong arm. Gleyber Torres has the arm to play it. It's reaction. It's get the ground ball. Go play third base. It's not that complicated. Like, it's a hard position to play, but you play infield. I'm not asking a catcher to go play third base. I'm not asking someone who's never, you know, you've played second, you've played short, you can't play third. Every shortstop who gets, you know, older or whatever transitions to third base. Like, I don't want to see him messing around. You got to keep him in the lineup in the same order. You got to keep him at the same position. You got to do this, you got to do that. How about you go out there and hit where you're told to hit, and you go play where you're told to play? Like, I hate this idea. If only he was just hitting sixth in the lineup every day, maybe things would change. Like, who cares? If you're hitting sixth, you're hitting fifth, you're hitting seventh, you're hitting first, go out there and hit. You're playing second, you're playing third, you're playing wherever they ask you to play, go play. Man, oh man, I can't stand that. I'm not saying the guy's wrong, he's probably right, but it bothers me that it's an issue. Mike in Stanford, what's up, Mike?
Hey, C-Mac. I'm so glad you just brought up that stuff about Glaber, because he drives me nuts. And I really, actually, before I get into Torres real quick, how great was the, because you brought it up, the Frank the Tank rant and blaming it on Sal.
Well, I couldn't even, it was hilarious because I couldn't understand a word he said until he said Sal Licata. Like, he was in full-blown, just so angry and animated and screaming that he really wasn't making sense. But he would throw in Sal Licata every once in a while, and I was like, oh, I got the Sal Licata part. I understand.
I think I'm so messed up because I have watched so many of his videos.
Yeah.
Every time they lose, I get excited just because I get to see a rant.
Yeah.
So I actually understood every word of that video today, which is,
I mean,
you know, listen, I don't know what that says about me. But,
yeah, I mean, I think Sal was clearly having some fun. I mean, the idea.
I agree.
I mean, but it's so silly. It's just, it is, it's so silly. But because a lot of Met fans like are seriously pissed. I bet you there are. I bet you there are a lot of Met fans who are seriously pissed at Sal. He goes out on the limb and says something after Saturday, and then they lose after Friday, they lose the next two games. Brutal.
Yeah. Well, who would have known that Sal's tweets can
shape the universe,
determine
and then team. And then the sarcastic son of a you know what? Well, I'm gonna have to talk to that Sal Licata. He puts out the Yankees will win tonight right before the Yankees.
I saw it.
Yeah, trying to Well, blew up in your face there, Sal.
Yep. And if you look at that tweet right under it, posted a picture of Frank freaking out, and I photoshopped the Yankee hat on him. So boom.
Boom, anyway, roasted. All right, what's your point about Gleyber? Because he frustrates me too. Even last night, while he's hitting, how are you on third base and a line drive hits the pitcher in the ass and rolls away 5-6 feet and you are not scoring? How
unacceptable.
How in the world is that possible? I couldn't believe it. Because I was
Waldo
pissed.
Didn't bail him out,
I know.
You would have been hearing even more of that.
And that's one of the things that make me feel good about the game and the team, because I look at things that would have been different last week or against the Mets. Like, against the Mets, obviously Trent Grisham doesn't get that hit off the wall. Not specifically the Mets, just that time period. But yeah, against the Mets, because they kicked the crap out of them. Against the Mets, they don't score there. They don't score. Against the Mets, Rodon gives up the back-to-back home runs. The inning falls apart. Like, a lot of the things that have gone the wrong way over the last 2 months, that, you know, and that Gleyber's perfect. For him not to score off of that ball a month ago or the last, you know, during this stretch, that run ends up not scoring. But today,
without a doubt.
But today, Oswaldo Cabrera comes through with a double and scores the runs. I mean, it's just, it feels a little bit different. It does. It feels a little bit different. But yeah, no, Gleyber pisses me off. Gleyber baffles me. I can't understand why he is the way he is, where it's, you know, sometimes it could be really good and then he's still prone to the boneheaded play. I just don't know. I don't know how you move him and how I feel good about it. I got to be honest. I'm still not. I don't think it's so bad that it's just anything is better than him. I'm not at the point where as long as they get rid of him, they'll be better off. Like, I'm not there yet.
I actually am there, because I think that we've seen enough of Gleyber that we know who he is. And I'm actually even more happy that ever since, like, they benched him, his numbers have been up. So I'm like, great. Stock value up, Cashman, get on the phone before Tuesday and move him and get a you know, I would love
get
to
what?
See another bullpen arm, but that's just me.
Yeah, no, I mean, I understand that, but again, who's trading you a bullpen arm?
I don't know.
That's the thing. Like, I just don't know. Like, because now Gleyber Torres is a free agent at the end of the year, so you can forget trading him to anybody who stinks. Right, no team that's not trying to win right now is going to take Gleyber Torres, because they got to pay him in the offseason. So it's about a team that thinks Gleyber Torres can help them win this year. And so now, what team is in a position where they're willing to take on Gleyber Torres to help them win this year and have extra really good bullpen arms to send the Yankees way? Like, I don't know. Like,
good,
you know, Seattle needs some offense. Do they have relievers they could send? I mean, didn't they just add a reliever? Like, these teams, bullpen is so important. These teams don't have just extra bullpen pieces to throw around.
But that's the thing I'm confident about, is because if we know one thing about Cashman, he is somehow able to get bullpen arms of people we've never heard of,
right.
And for the majority, it turns out. So that's why I'm thinking, like, if he can work his magic.
Do it with a low-level prospect. Don't do it with Gleyber Torres, who's now hitting 300 over the last 3 weeks. Like, I want as many good offensive players as possible. And I still believe Gleyber Torres can be a good offensive player. I still believe that. He's gonna make a mistake. He's got his head up as you know what on the base path sometimes. He makes the error at the end of the game, and then the top of the order comes up. I was going to cry. He makes the error at the end that should have been the final out of the game last night, and then Duran comes up, and I'm just like, I know it's 6 runs. I know. But now, I mean, he hits a home run. They're halfway to, like, I'm like, you can't blow that. I mean, he makes you want to scream at the television, no doubt. And I say this 100%, and I like Gleyber as a person. I mean, I don't know him, but he seems like a nice enough guy. I have nothing against him personally. Gleyber Torres, not only won't he be a Yankee next year, he can't be a Yankee next year. All right, I'm done with him, just like most of you are done with him. So don't take this as I love Gleyber. I want him here. I need him here. I want him back next year if they could sign him to a good contract. No, I don't care if he'll play for a dollar. I don't want Gleyber Torres here next year. But moving forward this year, I'm afraid to let go of anybody who's hitting fairly well with this, the way this offense has gone. Because let's be honest, everyone wants Jonathan India. They could bring in Jonathan India and he could be awful. Jazz Chisholm might not get another hit. I have no idea. Or he might not be able to stay healthy, as he almost went down in his first time rounding the bases for the Yankees. I have no idea. I'm willing to ride with him. You can jettison DJ LeMahieu. You still have Jones on this team you can get rid of. Like, I don't care. I'll have a bench with Gleyber Torres on it, if that's the way it pans out. I'll have a bench with Gleyber Torres and Verdugo on it. I don't care. I'm not trading away any good players because I can't afford to. I still want to add Jonathan India. That'd be great. He's the leadoff hitter. Great. I'll still keep Gleyber Torres. Thank you.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I said a little bit in the open. I think it was in the open, or maybe it was the next segment. But I do just want to say, for all the, I was just watching Aaron Boone's post game a little bit and talking about Verdugo. And Verdugo kind of has bookended here that he was talking about that because his slump really started in Fenway. He hit that home run, his first at bat back in Fenway to deep dead center field. And then I don't know if he got two hits since then. And he went 7-for-14 in the series. And again, I'm not trying to tell you Aaron Boone is a great manager. I'm not trying to tell you Aaron Boone can never be fired. I'm not telling you he's safe the rest of the year because of these three games. But I will tell you is can we at least just give him some credit, because everyone hated moving Verdugo to the top of the order and it changed the lineup. He nailed that one. Putting Verdugo at the top of the order was enormous in this series. He was relentless. 7-for-14. He had 500 in the series. Doubles all over the place. Verdugo was great in the series. And if he can become, like, sometimes hitters, right? Back of the baseball card. That's what we always say, right? It's the cliche, back of the baseball card. Well, that would mean he's going to have to be hot for a while. And that's not impossible. And Verdugo going changes the team. We saw it at the beginning of the year. We can hopefully see it again. And now we can start to see what this team is going to look like. Stanton back tonight. Chisholm part of the team. Verdugo and Torres hitting. Wells becoming a legitimate option. And really right now the standard option for cleanup, giving Judge protection. He's really come along in the last month. He's got the highest OPS in the last month of any catcher in baseball. Plus, he looks pretty good defensively, too. He was catching all balls in the dirt, whether it was the other night with, anytime Canley's in there, he's going to throw changeups in the dirt. Rodon was throwing sliders in the dirt, changeups in the dirt. He looked good. He's becoming a real weapon, and that hopefully is going to start to be an answer in the affirmative for some of these young players here. You need Volpe to get going, but Verdugo hitting leadoff, Wells cleaning up, and Torres doing something has changed the team. And now they're adding Stanton back. Plus, I think Oswaldo Cabrera is another one. I mean, you got to play him. He's been impressive. And by the way, I don't know why, but I've always felt like, I know Abreu almost has the home run catch the other night as we were listening to Casey Affleck and Matt Damon on the broadcast. For me, and I'm probably being unfair because Jeter goes into the stands, but I feel like Jeter established the catch and then ran into the stand. If you jump to catch a ball and your entire body lands in the stands, I really don't care if you catch it or not. That should not be an out. You should only be able, if you have your feet on the ground in play when you catch it and then you fall in, that's fine. But if you have to dive into the stands to catch it, and you land completely, like a receiver, out of bounds, I don't think that should be a catch. I really don't. I don't think you should be able to dive into the stands, never have the ball and your feet on the ground in play at the same time, and call that an out. If you catch it while running and then dive into the stands, or it's right there, but you shouldn't be able to go out over the fence and be sitting there with the fans and hold your glove up in the air like, I got it. You're in the stands. The ball's in the stands. The ball was never out while in play. I think it's. I've always said that there should that should not. Even if he caught that ball, that should have been a home run anyway. Dan in Manhattan, what's up, Dan?
Chris, you were so right about Rodon getting out of that fourth inning.
Yeah.
But I think just nearly as important was the fifth inning, where he had like an 8 or 9 pitch inning. When he came out for the fifth, I said, here we go. This is going to be another two, you know, several runs. I think it gave him the confidence after that fifth inning that, okay, I'm here for another couple of innings.
Yeah.
It was really gratifying to see that.
It was. And especially, like, you know, you needed the after Saturday and nobody could have a shutdown inning. Every time the Yankees scored, the Red Sox would score. Every time the Red Sox would score, the Yankees would score. So I thought a couple of things. Obviously, the first inning is enormous. The Yankees scored 3 runs, and for him to put up a 0 in that first inning was huge. He's been terrible in the first inning. Plus, you just needed to let a lead sit for a minute. So I thought that first inning was huge. Then clearly limiting it to 2 runs in the fourth arc is huge. And then you're right, pitching the fifth and sixth and then into the seventh was, I mean, to come back and just and continue to pitch. It's just a really good performance, followed up by a previous really good performance against Tampa Bay. He's got 2 really good performances in a row now, and hopefully he can start to build on it, because I think we all understand. I'm starting to let you go, Dan, because you're your line wasn't very good. I think we all understand that he's talented. I don't think anybody doesn't think he's got good stuff. He's got more swings and misses than anyone in the month of July. Like, he gets swings and misses. He's got good stuff. I remember I forget which game it was, but he gave up a ton of runs, ton of home runs. I forget which game it was. Pick whichever one you want to pick over his last 8 starts or so, 5-6 starts or so. But he got absolutely pounded. And I remember someone put on Twitter the statistics, and they were talking about it. I don't know if it was Katie Sharp or whoever, but his fastball was ranked by, I forget which group does it, but they rank pitches. His fastball was the best fastball in Major League Baseball that day. It had the most movement. It had the most average velocity. It had the most swings and misses. But yet, it got slugged at like a 500-600%. Like, it was just like, it made no sense. He was throwing what was deemed to be statistically wise, this is why people get all mad about analytics. Analytically, he was throwing the best fastball in Major League Baseball that day, and it got pounded. He needs to mix up his pitch mix, which he did beautifully in this game. He threw more changeups than any other secondary pitch, which is not like him at all. He was getting ground balls on his curveball. He was mixing up his pitches. He was getting the fastball swing and miss, slider swing and miss. So he had good stuff. He was dominating. And then when the crap hit the fan, he didn't fold, which is by far my biggest fear. Not that he won't have good stuff. Not that he can't get strikeouts. Not that he can't pitch well. But if something goes wrong, or he gets into a jam, or he gives up back-to-back home runs, here comes the tail between his legs, here comes the moping, and here comes an implosion. And instead, he left Devers at third base. And then he gave you 2 more innings. It was a great performance from Rodon. Great performance. Pete in Maryland. What's up, Pete?
C-Mac, what's going on, man?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I couldn't sleep.
That's okay. So you figured you'd try me and I would help. I know.
No, never talked to you, but see you on TV Friday.
Yes.
You were awesome.
Well, thank you very much. Not only that, I thought I looked good and nothing like a Teletubby. I don't think I look anything like a Teletubby.
Nice. Oh, that's
freaking
funny.
Ozzy. What a jerk.
Obviously, from Maryland, Annapolis.
Okay,
the
cool.
Capital. Big Orioles fan.
Mm-hmm.
Always have been.
What's going on with your team?
I don't know why they hit a losing streak, but fortunately the Yankees hit one too.
Amazing. I know. What a weird. They were the 2 best teams in the American League by a mile, and they've been dreadful for a month. It's so weird.
I've got a T-shirt that says Yankees suck on the front.
Uh-huh.
And it's got Mike Messina's number 35 on the back.
Right.
Because you stole him.
I guess they did. I guess they stole him. He didn't win a championship here, though. He bookended championships. He came 1 year too late and left 1 year too early, much like Don Mattingly.
Yeah. Jeffrey Mayer, if I could punch him in the face, I would do it in a second. did you know he was in the Orioles farm system?
Jeffrey Mayer?
Yeah.
No.
Look it up.
No, I don't think he
ever was. Look it up.
I'll look it up. I don't know if he was ever a baseball player. I've never heard that. That seems like too good a story to never... Oops, sorry. The Aaron Boone press conference on my phone. I got to look that up. Can you find that? See if you can find that, Alex. I can't believe that. I feel like that's a story we would have heard. That Jeffrey Mayer goes on to be an Oriole minor leaguer after robbing that home run? There's no way. There's no way that happened and I'm unaware of it. I feel like I've seen stories on him, like Yankeeographies, and then they give this side story and, you know... He's living happily with his wife and two kids, and he's a software engineer or whatever. Like, I don't think that he ever played professional baseball. I mean, there's a good chance there's another Jeffrey Mayer. I mean, the name doesn't seem that unrealistic that it could be a second of it, but I feel like I would have heard that. Mike in Jackson Heights, what's up, Mike?
Hey, listen. Good show, by the way, Chris.
Thank you.
I just want to tell you something that sort of sums up baseball, and this might be an apple and orange comparison.
Okay.
Now, some of your listeners might be old enough to remember the 1960 World Series, Bill Mazeroski hitting a home run over the left field wall.
And Yogi Berra
was playing left field.
Yes.
A Hall of Fame catcher.
Correct.
Shame on Gleyber Torres. Play where they tell you to play. You're making a boatload of money, which none of us will ever see in our lifetime.
Right.
Go out there, get dirty, play the position.
That's
all I got to say. I love you. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Mike. Yeah. My initial thought was just like yours. Are you serious, Gleyber? Like, you're a third baseman. You're a second baseman. I play second base. You're not going to be willing to. First of all, he'll be willing to do it. He's not happy about it, but he will do it. And the comments, I'm torn on it because my initial thought is, what the hell is he talking about? And how dare he say anything else but whatever I have to do to help this team win? And that's the overriding thought, and I think that's the right one. I'm with you. But I have to admit, part of me feels good for him that he's still in a place of confidence where he feels that's even a suitable thing to say. Like, because part of the reason I feel like this Yankee team has been failing over the last month or so, or 2 months, or whatever it is because they got a bunch of guys who mope, including Gleyber Torres. Because if you remember the two games he was benched in the dugout, he was just, you know, they were showing him, he's staring off into space, he's sad, he's moping, I feel like Rodon is that, right? I feel DJ LeMahieu's doing that right now. I think Gary Sanchez, although he's not been with the team for a while, he was someone who moped. There's been a lot of guys who allow Aaron Hicks moped, Joey Gallo moped. Like, anyone who struggles tends to mope, and especially anyone who's drawn the ire of the fan base tend to mope. So as much as I agree with you that, hey, Gleyber, shush, and go play whatever position they ask you to go play, because the answer is always, from every player on any team, should always be, I'll do whatever they need me to do to win, right? That's the only answer acceptable. Even if you feel differently, even if you express differently behind the scenes, publicly, I will do whatever this team needs me to do is the only answer. But having said that, because I've seen him mope all the time, the idea that he's been hitting over the last month, and now he feels like he has the balls to get into a press conference and say, no, I'm the second baseman. I play second base. Part of me thinks, I'm glad he kind of has that confidence in him, because you need that. You need that. I'm glad he didn't just whimper at and go, I guess. I'm not happy about it, but I'll... Like, you know, no. I play second base. I'm a second baseman. I'm really not happy about going to third. This is what I do. Let me do it. At least there's some of that, but the overriding thing is, do what you have to do. Because there's a chance you're not a Yankee in 2 days. There's a chance that, you know, double in the gap in extra innings to provide the Yankees with two insurance runs is going to be the biggest hit you had as a Yankee this season. And that's it.
I found something, by the way.
Oh, what'd you find?
So apparently, he played college ball.
Okay.
At Wesleyan. Shout out Wesleyan, by the way. I know two people there.
Two people.
Yeah,
not just one.
Small school. Very small school.
Gotcha.
And now he's married to a Red Sox fan.
Okay, but he never played minor league baseball.
Nope, just says college ball.
Yeah, I would have been very surprised if he. Maybe he was drafted in like the 150th round, and he said, "Nah, I'm going to go to school," and never made it. I don't know. That's possible. But I would have been. I feel like, especially with the Orioles, that would have been a story somewhere that I would have picked up on. But no, so he's happy now, living with his wife, doing whatever he's doing. Congratulations to him. He'll always have a moment in Yankee history. He'll always be there for us. Now, the Yankees would have won that series anyway. You were talking about the dynasty Yankees. They were going to win that series anyway. But yeah, that was some moment. And I hope wherever, he's like the opposite of Bartman. Like that poor guy, Steve, which by the way, what a disaster. I mean, you want to talk about someone who's treated unfairly? I mean, Steve Bartman, what a joke. Like, the Cub fans should be embarrassed. The guy did nothing wrong. And really, the problem is Lou, who acted like, threw his hands up in the air and allowed the anger to be. I don't want to get into all that. Who cares about that? But it's true. It's true. I blame Lou. It's his fault. I'm actually looking forward to the, speaking about like weird things, I got to see the Pete Rose documentary. I heard it's good. It's on HBO. I guess they just released it. I think it's on HBO now. I'm going to have to check out the Pete Rose documentary. I mean, we all know what happens. But a four-part documentary on Pete Rose should be interesting.